Hey, what's up? What's going on? Welcome to English with Dane, a podcast designed to improve your English. As always, I'm your host, Dane, and you can find me on Instagram at English with Dane. If you want to receive full transcripts of each episode as they come out, send me a message. And if you don't use Instagram, send me an email at englishwithdane@gmail.com. That said, there's no transcript for this episode because today's episode is a special one. It's my first conversation with someone on the show. I talked to my friend and fellow English teacher, Pierre, and we had a good time and talked about some interesting stuff. So here it is. You are listening to A Conversation with Pierre, episode 90 of English with Dane. Hit it. Have you been working a lot? Have you been teaching? What are you doing right now?
So now I'm teaching for two different academies and I have my own students. So that's pretty much, that takes up my whole schedule. And on top of that, I'm trying to manage my social media, you know, making posts to help people and trying to get some sort of movement and some energy into learning English, you know, trying to drive that whole thing.
How are you doing with the whole social media thing? Because for me, I should be posting a lot more, trying to just put the content out, but sometimes it's a little bit daunting or like a little bit like intimidating to just be posting. And there are so many things you have to consider. At least I'm always thinking about like, does this look good? Is it useful? Am I promoting something? What am I doing? I think a lot of people just post things and I'm a little bit jealous of that gene, you know, that just like ability to just post and post and post, because I think I overthink everything too much when it comes to posting and I end up not posting anything.
Yeah, man, I have experienced that myself. I think one thing, I had this meeting with this woman who's like a social media specialist, and she told me that I need to have a strategy and I need to know what I'm gonna do before. So also, you have given me some advice about choosing a theme, and beyond the theme, I'm starting to have some strategy, like posting things from my classes, weekly recaps of homework, common mistakes. So I'm starting to have a theme, which makes it a lot easier to post and less random, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many like things to follow with English, with like learning English. It's difficult to not just be one of those millions of accounts, right? You have to like distinguish. I always think that somebody has to be able to look at your post and know that it's you without reading like your handle, right?
Exactly. And one thing I'm trying to do, I'm really trying to choose my niche, which is just English for work. That's it. I don't have, you know, because there's so many facets and so many different like themes. Now I'm like, okay, let's focus on improving your English for professional purposes. What do you do every day? Who do you talk to? What does your job entail? That's it. Because there are so many people doing so many videos. There's so many accounts. So I'm trying to find my niche and just stick to that, you know, and that's it.
Yeah, I think that's the challenge, right? Like finding where you can really help people like learn, obviously, a given vocabulary, whatever it is, help people take like their English to the next level. And I think, yeah, I think that's smart to just choose something and go for it. I have a difficult time doing that, man. As you know from my episodes, it's like one is about this, one is about that. I don't know. I'm also, I guess, a bit jealous of being able to just narrow it down and say, all right, I'm going to do this and just attack that. How come? Why business? Is it because most of your students, like private students, need it for work, and you thought, all right, well, everybody's coming to me for like business related stuff, work related stuff.
Okay, so for me, the reason why I'm focusing on work is because after hours and hours of general fluency classes and also exam preparation classes, I realized for me, this wasn't enough. No, I didn't feel like what I was doing was important enough. And so I wanted to kind of focus in on something that I thought was more valuable. And specifically in Spain, a lot of people struggle with using English out of work. You know, they have la vergüenza, specifically around having to speak to other clients. And so in order to make me feel like I'm doing something more valuable, I decided to focus on professional things. So in the one sense, it feels like my job is more valuable, but on the other sense, since I'm focusing on like marketing students or people who work in technology, then it helps me because I pretty much pick their brains the entire class. I learn and they learn, and it's a great exchange. And it makes me feel like I'm learning and my time is valuable and what I'm giving to them is also useful. And that's why I decided to do business English in that sense, not this general business English where you have to learn every single situation, every single different industry. I'm just really focused on what people do every day, their business strategies. That's about it. And usually I choose students who do things or who work in industries that interest me. So that's what I'm getting at. You know, I'm not going to, instead of taking a course, I just have all my classes with students who work in marketing, social media marketing, or maybe and some sort of IT. So it helps me to learn and it helps them to learn. Beneficial.
Nice. So it's like a mutually beneficial situation.
Exactly.
Do you think it's easier to teach someone something that, okay, maybe you know something really well, but because you're bored of it, you're not an effective teacher? But even if you don't know something, but you're interested in it at the moment, you're going to research, you're going to investigate. Do you think that makes you a better teacher, or do you think it's better to just like teach what you really know?
Yeah, it makes me a better teacher for sure, because I have more enthusiasm to talk about things that interest me. And I also have more enthusiasm and I'm more willing to take time to make homework assignments about things that interest me. So that's what it comes down to. And on top of that, as far as the workflow, if I have students who all work in the same three industries, well, then I can use the same material and adapt it to each student without taking 20 minutes, 30 minutes before each class. You know, I have like 7 classes a day sometimes. I really don't have time to plan each class differently. So now that I'm kind of aligning my students, I can really, really focus in. I can become a better teacher in those specific industries and those job roles. And it just makes things so much easier, man. It eliminates so much preparation time.
For sure.
So much.
You said something interesting about vergüenza, right? Like, do you think that's like the Achilles heel of your average English learner? And do you think it's even stronger, let's say here in Spain, where we like to like vacilar, right? As we say here in general, like, hey, I think in Spain, I say we, I'm not Spanish, but I've lived here long enough to feel a little bit Spanish. But in Spain, there is a tendency to mock or laugh at somebody who's trying to speak English and really going for it. And I don't know, do you think it comes from insecurity with your own abilities in the language? Do you think, I don't know, what do you think it is?
So I think, you know, a wise person told me, la vergüenza mata, you know? And I think, so let's see if I can make this complicated thing into a very short sentence. As far as like Spain's position in Europe, I think there's some feeling that things need to be better or things need to be more like other Northern European countries that typically speak English well. And I think people have pressure here to learn English and speak well. And I think this pressure is too much. And this is, I think, a part of the reason why people feel this need to improve, but also this, I don't know, this shyness, you know, like they want to stay away from something that they feel they're not good at, even if they're good at it. And this is on top of the way they teach grammar in school. So between those two parts, you know, between how people learn English here, a lot of grammar and not a lot of speaking. And then when they get to a job or when they have this pressure that they need to speak well and they can't, this is a very destructive combination, you know? Mm-hmm.
No, I feel that for sure. I feel that for sure. I think that happens with a lot of my students as well. Like there's a common theme among most of my students, especially of a certain age, right? If they are 30 to 50, they're going to say, well, at school, we didn't do any English. We blah, 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 blah. But I think kids coming up or growing up nowadays are just way more loose, you know, like they've picked up the language through social media, through YouTube, through whatever. And I think that's great. I think now the issue is going and using it. You know, I think using your language is the only thing you can really do. Like, to a certain extent, I know that you can read and you can learn grammar, and you should. I never tell people not to learn the grammar, because that's something to lean on, right? Something to fall back on. But it's everyday situations that you're going to be in where you can actually like make progress, right? Because you can learn all the theory you want, but if you don't practice it, it's like reading about basketball and then you never play.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And that's another reason why I decided to focus more on like a quote unquote business English, because at least the people who actually have to use English at work, they have a chance to learn. Because if a person's studying English, studying grammar and never using it, it's very hard to improve. But if a person is exposed to the language every day, whether they live in a different country or they use it at work, well, that's the key, you know? Get out there and talk to somebody, a wise person once told me. So yeah, you gotta use it. Use it or lose it.
Use it or lose it, man. Use it or lose it. Yo, another question. You're learning Spanish. I mean, you moved first to Barcelona, right? Then you came down to Madrid. You're learning Spanish every day and you have to use it in everyday situations. How has learning a new language helped you teach a language?
I think the biggest way learning a language helps me teach a language is that I really can identify with the vergüenza, you know, this shyness and this fear of making mistakes and this fear of being in situations where you cannot communicate and you might seem a bit foolish. You know, I still have to deal with that every single day, because every time I find myself in a new situation where I haven't used certain vocabulary or certain context, I still struggle. You know, if I go to a restaurant, to a bar, if I need to ask directions, this is quite easy for me. If I go to the bank and I need to ask them for a certain account and I need to know about the fees and the usage of the card, well, then I'm right back to zero sometimes, you know? So I think the fact that I had to go through an experience of learning a language and starting out as a baby and slowly maturing and growing, this really helps me to have patience with people, and also it helps me to really focus in on what to teach them. For example, if a person has a low level, I'm not going to try to teach them crazy conditionals and English they're not going to use. I'm going to try to get them to talk about what they do every day, what they watch, you know, their habits, their hobbies, what they eat, what they cook, because this is the most basic and practical knowledge. You know, the things you use every day, the words you say every day are the things you need to know how to say. And as you mature or as you learn more, then you can start to talk about the past or the far future or conditionals. Then you can start to use better connectors and debates, negotiate. But you have to start with the basics first and then build upon that.
You said something interesting there about patience, and that's a hard thing to teach. That's a hard thing to tell people to have, you know. You say be patient and just practice every day. And it's advice that all of us as teachers have given at some point or another. Do you think nowadays we're less patient in general? And because I mean, I know I am. I want something and I'm like, okay, I want to be good at this right now. I don't want to practice for 5 years and then start enjoying the benefits of being good. Or, you know, you order something and it arrives the next day if you have Amazon Prime. We're less good, I think, at waiting now. And I've noticed this among like the questions that I get all the time is like, how can I improve quickly? And I feel weird always saying the same thing, but it's like, you can't really improve quickly. You can only improve as far as you want, as far as you take it, as you can improve as much effort as you put into it. You know, that's it. Do you have any tips for people that are struggling with this, like with not having the patience or just wanting results right now?
Yeah, you know, this is something difficult when it comes to learning something as complex as a language, because it takes time and it just, you can't rush. And if you want to learn something, but you have no patience or you're not willing to make mistakes, well, then that's not a very good mental position or an attitude to have with learning, because you would never expect a baby or a child to learn how to speak immediately. It takes people years to learn how to speak their own native languages. So for anyone who doesn't have the patience or feels like they don't have time to learn, well, they better start studying a lot. You know, if you want to have a big output, well, then you have to have a bigger input. So you need to use the language as much as possible. You need to focus on all pillars, you know, listening, speaking, reading, and writing. The more you use the language, the faster you will learn. It will still take time. And don't be afraid to make mistakes. But if you want to learn fast, well, then you need to start doing things. You need to start doing a lot. You know, you can't just have English class, unfortunately, 1 hour a week and expect to go from a B2 to a C1 in a few months. That's not realistic, you know? You need to have, honestly, hours of class a day if you really want to make that kind of a jump. Mm-hmm. Of course, we don't have that much time nowadays, and we don't have that much patience. So we have to be willing to adapt, or willing to accept reality, you know?
Man, I think there's like an illusion of levels in English, right? I think we have a bit of an obsession with what's my level, right? Am I an A1, an A2, a B? What exam have you done? That means that you have this level and know this level. When you go to a language school, a lot of the time they do some sort of like level test type thing to know where to place you. They give you a book for your level. Everything is level based. And I understand that we have to always measure it in a way. But honestly, I think the levels thing is a bit of an illusion, right? I think there are people who are just starting out and don't have a lot of experience with a language. That's definitely a level, or they haven't practiced in years. They only did a few years at school of English, whatever. Then there's this huge middle part of casual speakers, learners, people that like studied it at school, but never really used it, but they understand movies, they understand TV shows with subtitles, they understand everything. And then there's like another tier or level of people that are just like fluent, right? Like they use it at work. They maybe make mistakes here and there. And it's not perfect, but in terms of functionality, they're basically just speakers. They're users of the language, right? Fluent. In your experience, how much does this levels thing affect people? Because I think a lot of the people that I encounter always start with, oh, my level is this. But there are some people whose grammar is incredibly tight and they really understand it, but their vocabulary is very limited. There are people who know a lot of words, right? Their vocabulary is huge and they give you the illusion of being fluent, but they're making mistakes with like very easy prepositions or whatever thing you're not expecting. What has your experience been with teaching a new student, for example? Where do you start? Do you say, I'm going to teach them vocabulary first? I'm going to give them, how do you assess someone and how do you put together a game plan, let's say, for them?
Yeah, that's a really, really good point you make, because levels, you know, this tendency for people to categorize their abilities, sometimes I understand it can be appropriate as far as like certain job positions or schools or levels of employment. But when it comes to the language, it's not the most productive thing to focus on. And what I want to focus on more is like, instead of the level you have, what relationship do you have with the language? Mm-hmm. How do you use the language? Because like you say, I have people who can read really, really well. They can write really, really well, but they're not able to speak very well. And I have people who also can speak really, really well, but they understand American culture or English culture, which is another facet of fluency. You know, it's not just reading, writing, speaking, but there's also understanding the cultures and the people that use the language. And so what I'm trying to do now is kind of realign the focus to be like, okay, do you want to use your English at work and in what field and in what position? Let's focus on that. Do you want to understand series and movies and culture? Well, let's focus on that, because there's multiple types of fluencies. There's not levels of fluency. There's multiple types of fluency. You know, some people can read novels and read books and understand that, but then they struggle at writing. So I think if you focus on what type of fluency you want to have, and also what experience you have with the language, because for example, if you grew up listening to hip hop in English, well, you're going to understand a lot of cultural references, but you might not be able to write so well. But does that mean you're less fluent than another person who can read and write, but then they have no idea, like when they hear a certain joke or they hear a certain phrasal verb? So I think people, there's so many other aspects of using a language. I think people should back away from level. There's actually some tests now that actually will just, they'll just rate you on your skills, you know, they'll rate you on your writing skills and your speaking skills and everything. And instead of giving you a certain level, they just give you abilities. And that way, you know where your strengths are and your opportunities for improvement. You know where they are, and you don't have this thing of like, oh, I'm a B1 or I'm only a B2. Like, you don't have this emotional or this, like, I don't know, you know, the stigma to the level, you know, remove that, throw that in the garbage, actually.
Yeah, definitely, man. And I think the whole level thing is detrimental in a way. You kind of put yourself in a box, right? You're like, oh, I'm a B1. I'm an intermediate speaker. But maybe you're super into video games or whatever, and you have this whole world inside your head that's in English. You're not the same type of B1 that someone else is. So this is just a message to the listeners. Don't obsess about your level. Don't obsess about it. Fine, it's a good indicator, but don't obsess. Instead, just work on what you think are your weaknesses, you know, set some goals. I think a good approach to dealing with this situation is what you're saying, right? What are your goals? What do you need to get there, right? I mean, I say this, but in my life, I struggle with goals as well. I think goals are super important. And I hear TED Talks and I hear people talk about goals. And I've always been more of an improviser, right, than a goal setter. I try to be an opportunist. And I would benefit from goal setting in some things. So I'm going to say it, set some goals and see what you need to do and be generous with yourself. I think it's important to reward yourself, right? You do a few weeks of practicing questions. You say, oh, I'm really bad at asking different types of questions, right? My word order isn't great. I always make these mistakes. Try to do 2 weeks of questions. And after you're done, pat yourself on the back, have a little celebration, say, hey, I did it. I did this. Okay, questions. I feel better about questions. Next thing. Right? And I think it's about that. It's about little things, because if you are focusing on the whole language and be like, oh, I don't understand this. Oh man, I can't write emails. It's fine. That's overwhelming right away. There's no way around how much you don't know unless you break it down into small chunks and just attack each one at a time. Right?
I think that's such a good point. I mean, one thing language learners often forget is that even native speakers don't speak perfectly, you know, and yeah, you can't just approach the entire language. That's so daunting and overwhelming. Like, make a goal, and more importantly, make a realistic goal, an achievable goal, and then make a realistic plan, and then make a realistic time frame. That's the strategy, you know, like focus on questions or focus on some vocabulary you're going to use, or expressions, or whatever small facet you want to focus on that you need, just do that. Make a plan of attack and just do that. You're not going to become completely fluent. I mean, I don't know all the vocabulary in English, you know, I don't have, like, I'll be honest, 100% perfect grammar, you know. It takes time, you know. I can't write something the first draft and it's going to come out perfect. It takes time, you know. It, come on, be realistic and be nice to yourself.
Dude, I think be nice to yourself is super important, not just in English learning, but in, like, in your life. I think we're hard on ourselves, right? We're hard on ourselves. We're like, oh, stupid. Oh, I don't know this. I don't know this. I don't know that. My English sucks. Whatever. But realistically, everyone's all right. You know, like, you're okay. I think we stress out at least in my case, I always think that people are maybe judging me negatively when people aren't even thinking about me. You know, like, in reality, no one's walking around thinking about you, right? I mean, very few people are, maybe your girlfriend, boyfriend, parents, whatever the case is. But realistically, when you interact with people or when you have an embarrassing moment, nobody's thinking about that except for you. So you can relax and don't really think about that. Let me pivot for a second, talking about goals. What are some of your goals, dude? Like, personally?
You know, due to this current situation of major uncertainty, you know, constant changes in the city of Madrid, I mean, around the whole world, one of my goals now is just to find some space and some peace. So in the next year or so, I would like to, relocate, find some place where I could reconnect with nature. You know, I work from home now. I want to maintain that. I really want to simplify my life, man, you know, to have more time, because right now time is the most valuable thing there is, you know, next to data, right? So I would love to just go somewhere, have my workflow, eat good food, have space, nice environment, be close to nature, be close to water, you know, the ocean, and just chill, man.
I like that. I like the reconnecting with nature thing. That's also something I need to incorporate. Real quick, my listeners don't know you at all, aside from what they've already heard. Tell me real quick where you're from, or tell them real quick. I already kind of know. Tell them where you're from, how you got to Spain, and how you became an English teacher.
Right. So I'm from San Francisco, California. To be more specific, I'm from the North Bay, which is across the Golden Gate Bridge, you know, 45 minutes. I left California to travel and backpack, and I was traveling around Europe. I have some family here. So I was in Ireland, Portugal, you know, moving through France, England. And at a certain point, I got really tired of changing cities every day. And it's also very difficult to actually learn about another culture if you're just passing through, not really learning the language or really taking time to see what's going on. So when I came to Spain, I decided to actually to stay and to find work and to immerse myself into this language, which I honestly felt I had to learn coming from California. Obviously, it's like almost 35 to 40% native Spanish speakers. So I felt like it was my time to actually put some attention to this and to learn. And yeah, man, I came to Barcelona, had a great time 1 year. That later I moved to Madrid, okay, a few weeks, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and here I am still really enjoying living here. I'm just trying to learn as much about the language, the culture, myself as well, develop myself here.
Nice. Beautiful place. What's something that's super different when comparing Madrid and San Francisco in terms of living here?
San Francisco is very similar to Barcelona. In the sense, when you move there and you go to live there, it's very like you have to find your circle, right? You need to find your vibe, and it doesn't always seem so open. You know, if you go there as a tourist, there's great things to do, things to entertain you. But when you live there, it's a bit harder to make friends and to find your rhythm. And Madrid is not like that. From like the first week I was here, I was making friends. People were very open. And I didn't feel like, you know, if I went out, I didn't feel like my dress code, the way I was, the clothes I was wearing might prevent me from hanging out or meeting certain people. You know, it's really like tight bubbles in San Francisco, similar to what I experienced in Barcelona. But Madrid was like open doors, man. Just really, really friendly from the start. And it, I think it still is in a lot of ways. So that's nice. One of the biggest differences.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yo, mm-hmm. I have a list of questions. Let's finish off with this. I don't want to take mm-hmm. up too much of your time. I have like 8 questions or so. You got to be honest though. Answer truthfully. All right. None of these are very revealing. Okay. I'm not going to put you on the spot like that. All right. Okay. Real quick. You ready?
Ready.
Here we go. Showers in the morning or at night?
Night.
Interesting. I'm going to say interesting like I'm judging you after every answer. Beer or wine?
Wow, that's a hard one. I'll say beer.
Okay. Pegged you as a wine guy. I don't know why. Jazz or electronic music?
That's not really fair. I'm going to say jazz just because, you know, the roots.
Nice. I love it. Drums or guitar?
Oof. I'm going to have to say drums.
Cool. I agree. East Coast or West Coast?
Well, you know, the answer would always forever be West Coast.
I mean, I was just testing your loyalty there, bro. Okay. Just coffee or actual breakfast?
Ah, man, I can say after 5 years in Spain, I'm starting to be a just coffee person.
Okay, same. Romantic comedies or action movies, Pierre?
Action movies.
Nice. Basketball or football, as in soccer?
Basketball.
Yes, bro. Last one. Who would you like to meet, dead or alive?
You know, I always say Einstein, man. It would be great to pick his brain and just to really see what kind of person he was, you know?
Unexpected answer. I love it, mm-hmm. dude. Cool. Well, thanks for your time, dude. I really appreciate it. I know my listeners appreciate it as well. And tell people where they can find you. What's your Instagram handle?
So they can find me at Let's Talk English Madrid. At Let's Talk English Madrid. I'm on Instagram, also Facebook, also LinkedIn, and also my website, Let's Talk English Madrid.
Awesome. So you heard it. If you want classes specifically on business English, and I think you also do some conversation stuff. I'm not sure. Yes, still doing it.
Yeah.
Nice. Fluency. Find Pierre at Let's Talk English. What is it? Let's Talk English Madrid.
Exactly.
All right, man. All right. Well, really appreciate it. Later.
Deuces.
So that's the episode for today. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned something. Let me know if you want me to do more conversations like this and who you want me to talk to. Support English with Dane by following the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And if you want to really help out, give it a 5-star rating and leave a review. All right, talk soon. Bye-bye.